And make a joyful noise. That's what the Bible says. And that's what we want to do. When y'all get to Matthew 13, those of you that would like to stand, let's stand. We're going to read a few verses together. Matthew chapter number 13. Get down here with you this morning. All right, if you're Matthew 13, it says in verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and casheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to tell you thank you again for this opportunity and the privilege to be able to be here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help the hearts this morning. Help it to be that seed that's sown on good ground, dear Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would receive your word with meekness. And, Lord, I pray that if anybody's lost, they get saved. And those of us, Lord, that are saved here this morning, Lord, help us to walk in a closer fellowship with you. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would have full sway. Lord, give me the things that you want me to say the way you want me to say it, dear Lord. And I pray the hearts would be helped this morning. We love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do. Amen. We're going to, if the Lord allows me, we're going to go through the mysteries in the Bible the next several Sundays. But the first thing we need to do is start off with the sower and the seed. If we're going to go through these things, that's what we need to do. And if y'all have ever wondered, have you ever wondered why you've got loved ones and you want to see them saved and you want to see them, maybe some of them get close to the Lord And man, you just wonder, you know, what's going on here? You know, I tell them about the Lord and I tell them about the Word and they don't listen or they don't heed and they don't seem to be getting it. You ever see some people you just say to them in your mind, you say, you're just not getting it. You're just not getting it. And some people, they come to church and you see that they come, but it seems like they're not doing any good. Y'all ever wondered that? Well, we're looking at this morning the seed, the sower, and the seed. And so what you've got here is Jesus is explaining different types of ground that the seed is sown upon. For instance, Luke 8:11 says that the seed is the Word of God. So you've got the sower, and the sower is Jesus Christ, and the seed is the Word. And so what you have here is, earlier, he gave this parable earlier, but he's explaining it now. Now, one thing that's interesting about Matthew chapter number 13, Jesus begins preaching in parables. Why does he begin preaching in parables? They have rejected him in Matthew chapter number 5. Jesus Christ came, and he came preaching. And the Bible says that John the Baptist even said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so the kingdom, there it was, at hand. At hand means in reach. Well, some people say, well, there's a contradiction in God's word because they say, well, one of them came preaching the kingdom of heaven, one of them came preaching the kingdom of God, and some people make the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the same thing, but they're not the same. Why? They're not spelled the same. I'm not trying to be smart, but they're not spelled the same. Heaven is not God, and God is not heaven. For instance, birds fly in heaven, but birds don't fly in God. You know what I mean? So they came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. But you say, how does that reconcile? The king of both kingdoms was there. You see? the king of both kingdoms. So he was saying that both kingdoms were in reach. Now, they have a lot of similarities. We're going to go through these parables, and you will see a lot of similarities between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. But that don't make them the same. For instance, you've got a dog and a cat. Both of them are furry. Both of them have two eyes. Well, most of them have two eyes. I've seen a few with only one. But for the most part, they've got two eyes, they've got two ears, and both of them walk on 4 feet. Now, but they're not the same. That's kind of how it is with the kingdom of heaven. When you're reading these parables, you'll see a lot of similarities, but they're not the same. The kingdom of God, the Bible said, is not meat and drink. That's not physical. But it's righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Ghost. They're not the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is physical. The king of both kingdoms was there. He's offering the kingdom of heaven to the Jews. And guess what? They turn him down in Matthew chapter number 12. They blaspheme the Holy Ghost in Matthew chapter number 12. And what happens is, he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. So guess what you've got this generation right here doing? This generation right here is seeking signs, 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 when signs are for the Jews. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 22 says that Jews require a sign. So what you've got nowadays, people nowadays, they want a sign. What's a sign? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22, tongues are for a sign. That's a sign. That's for the Jews, not for even Gentiles. We don't need a sign. Why? We walk by faith, not by sight. Is tongues something of sight? Yes, it's something of sight. You've got this world going after strange things today. Why? Because they're going after signs. And guess what's happening? They're getting deceived, right? So guess what? You should learn from here. They rejected Jesus Christ, and he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. You got people nowadays going after signs, 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 and they're getting deceived left and right. Why? Jesus is the Word of God. They rejected the Word. So let me tell you, going back to this thing in Matthew 13, the sower and the seed, you know why a lot of people are getting deceived today? They're rejecting the Word, the plain Word of God. That's where it comes from. You reject that Word, and guess what? Everything else will fall apart. Why? Because in Him all things consist. He holds it all together. I like for y'all to know that. And so, first of all, if a family or anything else is going to have trouble, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have trouble with the Word of God. It's going to be rejecting plain statements in the Word of God. God don't make it hard. That Bible is complex enough for the most complex mind, but it's simple enough for the most simple mind to come in and get the things it needs. And you just they reject the truth. So what happens is the rejection led to a mystery. The Bible says, you don't have to go there, but Romans 11, 25 says, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel, in the most part, there's still Jews that get saved, but in the most, Israel is blind right now. The Jews are blinded. They have rejected their Messiah, and they're going to be that way until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So how do we apply that to us? Guess what's happening today? Gentiles are becoming blinded just like the Jews did. Gentiles are rejecting the plain statements of God's Word, and things are going into a mystery form to them. The simple thing, simplicity of the gospel is being rejected. You got people, we spoke about it in Sunday school this morning, they're making salvation so hard, and friends, salvation is so simple, but you got false teachers today, and you can find a false teacher on every corner. Why are they making salvation hard? You know, salvation is so simple. If you want to get saved, are you thirsty this morning? Guess what? Salvation is like drinking water. It's just, if you're thirsty this morning, you can get saved. You know what? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. If any man hungry, let him come unto me. Guess what? If you're hungry this morning, you can be saved. It's as simple as eating bread, Jesus said. But people make it complex. You know what the problem is? People are not hungry nowadays. You know what? Jesus said, I'm the door. Salvation is as simple as walking through a door. It really is. It's simple. He said, just come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. This morning, if you're laboring, you're heavy laden and you're tired, guess what? You can walk through the door, Jesus Christ, and be saved. But guess what? It's a mystery to most people. They're stumbling over simple truths nowadays. Why? Because they've rejected the plain statements of the Word of God. So what you see is we have light on things today that a lot of people don't have. Actually, the Christians got light that other people don't have at all. And so we've got these mysteries in the Bible that's been revealed to us. I want to read a verse to you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the mysteries of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You know what? we have got access to the mysteries of God that the other world, the lost world does not have. And he said we're supposed to be stewards of those mysteries. And friend, we're supposed to be a faithful steward of what he's entrusted us with. And so what you have is today is people have got access to these mysteries, but they're not being faithful with them. You know why? People just don't care. There's no care about them today. People are laughing at things that they ought to be upset about. And so there's hindrances to receiving the seed. And this morning, I want to talk to y'all about the hindrances of receiving the seed. And it's right here in this passage here. Now, before I go into that, I want to say this. Light rejected, a wise preacher once said, becomes lightning. Look at verse 15, Matthew 13, verse 15. I want to say that again. It's so profound. Light rejected becomes lightning. You know what's happening? This, you can apply this today. People are doing the same thing the Jews did that day. I'm going to back up to verse 14. It says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah," that's Isaiah, "which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand." You imagine that? A lot of people hearing, but they don't understand what they hear. You know why? Most of them don't want to understand. You know why a lot of people don't want to understand? Because they know they're going to have to act on it if they admit that they understand it. They don't want that. And so it says, "And seeing ye shall see and not perceive." They saw it, but they can't see it. It's like they can't see the forest for the trees. Why they don't want it? Watch this. Verse 15 says, "For this people's heart." See, it starts in the heart. The Bible says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." His head knows better, but he has to say it in his heart because his head knows better. You say, it says here, their heart, these people's heart is waxed gross. Waxed gross. You know what I say? Get that gross earwax out of your ears. You ever see some people, man, you know, they just don't clean their ears out. And man, that old wax will just build up in your ear. Well, that Bible said their heart is like that earwax. It'll just pile up in your ears and you get to where you can't hear a thing. You imagine that if you never cleaned your ear out? You know, a lot of people don't never clean their heart out. You know what? The Bible says that now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. A lot of people don't expose themselves to that pure word of God. And guess what? Their soul is dirty. They've cleaned their body. They've gotten the shower and they've cleaned their body. And they looked in the mirror and they combed their hair. But guess what? They didn't get in the word of God and clean their heart. So guess what's happened? They've got spiritual earwax in their ear. And the word, whenever the water of the word of God hits their heart, it just rolls right off of them. Just rolls right off of them. And friend, you see that? It's right there plain in God's Word, and it says, "And their ears are dull of hearing." They tired of it. They just boring to them. You know, this modern day today, man, you talking about this, y'all, it just saddens my heart to see people dull of hearing. They're just bored. I can't stand to hear somebody say, "I'm bored." You know what I feel like saying? Get out there and get to work then. You get out there and pick up some sticks, and you get out there and rake the grass, rake some leaves out there in the yard, and you get out there and do some work, and you wouldn't be so bored. This world is bored, bored, bored. And guess what? It's killing. Y'all, it's killing folks. Boredom is killing people. Why? They've got so many gadgets and so much stuff to do. Nothing entertains them. Nothing pleases them. And nothing can get their attention anymore. They're dull. That's how they were. Right here, he says right here, he says, "Their eyes they have closed." Now guess what? I underline in my Bible, "They have closed." They closed them. You know what? God didn't close them. They closed their eyes. You know what? The sunlight's outside. You know what? A lot of people can enjoy that sunlight outside, but you imagine some people, they walk out there and they can enjoy it and they just close their eyes. And they say, "I don't see any sun." When the sun's still shining out there, but they got their eyes closed. Y'all, that's what this world's doing. You say, "How come people don't understand?" They've closed their eyes. They don't want to know why, because they love darkness. Friends, it's a certain reason. You wonder, how come the clubs and the bars and things like that are dark? Why? You do bad things in darkness, friend. You know, people wonder, "Well, it's just dark in there." Friend, that's not natural. Anywhere else you go at nighttime, the lights are on. Why is it dark? They don't want you to see what they're doing in there. So friends, they've closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes. They don't want to see and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, see the heart, and should be converted. They don't want to be converted, and I should heal them. Do you know that Bible just told you right there, lest they should be converted? Do you know that God wants people to be converted? God's will. Do you know if anybody's in here this morning? Do you know who that person, if they're lost, their worst enemy is? Their own self. Because God's standing there, He's wanting them to be saved, wanting them, man, He's having mercy on them. Do you know that some of the best things that happen to people are the worst things that happen to them? Do you know sometimes something bad will happen to somebody in their life and they say, what happened? I don't understand this. And guess what? Through that thing happening, they get close to God and they get down the road and they realize that was the best thing that ever happened to them. And you know what? The worst thing that God can do sometimes is let some people alone and let their life just be good. Why? Because some people won't listen until bad things happen. And so I want to say this. The same light that directs you can be the same light that dazes you. Y'all ever look just directly at the sun and you looked at it too long, you close your eyes and all you can see is just light. You can't even see anything. You open your eyes, all you can see is that spot. You ever done that? Y'all know some people are like that. They're looking at that Bible and that Bible shining on their sin and that Bible shining, showing them that they need to do the things of God. And guess what happens? All they do is just look at it and guess what happens? It dazes them. Dazes them. Why? Because they're not heeding to what God said. And so the seed there can be hindered, and that sowing of the seed can be hindered. How? Let's look at the Bible here. First thing, the devil. Once somebody rejects that light, guess what? The devil is able to come in. The devil. You think about Adam and Eve there. You know what happened? Eve had the commandment of God. She had the commandment right there. And God said, He said, look, don't eat of that fruit of the tree. So she had the command. She was safe. Guess what? The first thing she did, she did not listen to God's word. Then the devil was able to get his plan over on her. If she had listened to God's word, he would have never got any foothold. You see? And so once that happens, the devil is able to come in. So verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, he said, and understandeth not, he said, then cometh that wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So the word was sown, he kind of took it in, or she kind of took it in, but guess what happened? The wicked one come and caught it away. Now look over here in Matthew chapter number 13 and look at verse number 4. The first time he goes through this parable here, he tells you how and what caught that thing away. And it's none other than the devil and those that work for the devil. It's evil spirits. And some people say, well, is that stuff still around today? You better believe it. Friend, if you ever get around some of these people who tell you that the devil's not working today and he's not active for, they are bad deceived, because there are people who believe that. And friend, the devil is fast at work. And he, you know what his main work is? Just like it was over in Genesis chapter 3, his work is to try to get you so distracted by any means that you don't hear God's word, because he knows that God's word is what changes you. So what caught it? Look here at chapter 13, verse 4. It said, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. That Bible just told you that the fowls came. You know what fowls do? Fowls, which are a foul bird. Y'all heard of fowl? You know, like a buckshot, but you got fowl shot for fowls, like turkey and things like that. So what do? They eat seed. Well, guess what? Those fowls are pictures of unclean spirits. Turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter number 18. I'm going to show you something neat. I love how God will show you spiritual things by looking at physical things. God will show you something and he'll say, this is like that. Why? Because he'll show you a perfect picture of it. So Revelation chapter number 18, it'll give you and show you that fowls are pictures of unclean spirits. So what does a fowl do? Well, a fowl, the Bible says, takes the word out. Well, you think about it in the Bible. Y'all remember over there in Genesis, you're reading about Noah's ark, all of a sudden he sends out a raven, which is a black fowl, bird out there first. And he sends that thing out, and what happens? Man, that thing don't come, nothing happens. Why? He don't bring anything back, and he's able to go to and fro. Why? He's able to feed on all that old dead flesh that's out there, isn't he? A fowl feeds on dead flesh. But that black bird's a picture of unclean spirit, but guess what? The dove is a picture of the Holy Spirit. So you've got opposing forces. You've got darkness and light, and they're opposed there. And he's showing you that there are dark forces out there that's against you and your family and against you trying to get the truth of God's word. So he tells you here in Revelation 18:2, look at this. It says, It's talking about this angel coming down out of heaven. Verse 2, it says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils. Now watch this. And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You see that? You see those birds, a picture of unclean spirits? Now let me tell you something. Turn in your Bible now to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. I'll show you something really neat. You know, you have to really watch your mouth. You know, one thing that's going to get you in trouble, if you're anything like myself, one thing that gets people in trouble as much as anything is your tongue. The Bible says a tongue is a world of iniquity, and it's like a fire, and what a great matter, a little fire kindleth. Do you know that one little strike of the match can burn down a whole forest? Why? The tongue is like that. That's what he's saying. He said, what a great matter, a little fire kindleth. And friend, just a little bit. Now, why am I saying that? Because guess what happens? Those unclean spirits and those devil spirits try to use people to get you off track of God's Word, and try to get you where you don't listen to God's Word, and they try to get you stumbled up where you won't listen to God's Word. Why? Because the devil knows that how powerful that Word of God is, and what a difference it'll make in your life. So he tries to get you tripped up so you won't listen to it. So guess what? He'll try to get you to say things you ought not say. Now look at this. It says, curse not the king in Ecclesiastes 10:20. It says, in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. Watch this. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Y'all know what people say today, straight out of that King James Bible. A little bird told me. People do. They say, well, look, well, where's that come from? Comes right from your Bible. They say, a little bird told me about so-and-so. Guess what they do? It's a picture of gossip, friend. Why? What happens there? You know, a lot of times you get talking about somebody, and you know what? You'll get around somebody, and you'll say, I can't put my finger on it, but I don't know about her. I don't know about him. I can't put my finger. I don't know what it is. You know what? Little bird may be saying that, you know, that person been talking bad about you. Well, you know, God, that's not God doing that, because God's angels does not carry gossip. The Bible says over there in 1st or 2nd Peter, they're talking about his angels, they bring not a railing accusation against them. They don't bring railing accusations against us to God. They just bring up the plain facts. So you got here, a lot of times people are talking bad about folks, and man, they're running people down and spreading gossip and things like that. And guess what happens? That little bird goes over and plant. You may not know exactly what it is, but friends, something has rubbed you wrong. Why? That person's spreading that gossip and spreading all that gossip. And guess what? Them little things are just chirping. Those little birds, what do they do? Chirp, 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 chirp. Now, what do you say? Why do I bring that in? Because I'm telling you that gossip is used by the unclean spirits to keep people from heeding to God's Word. There's no telling how many people we're going to get to heaven, no telling how many people we've hurt through our gossip we didn't realize. There's no telling how many people through our little tongue that we have hurt that we don't even realize the damage it has caused, and why those unclean spirits are able to use that thing. And they're able to use that as a means to take the seed of the Word of God. You think about it. Now, I wonder how many lost people have seen Christians nag on one another and tear one another down and everything else, and they say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be like them. You know, the thing, that don't mean that person's lost. It just means that person is using their tongue instead of bragging on Jesus Christ, but they're using their tongue to work for the devil. And so what happens is the lost people say, hey, I don't want any of that. And you see there the damage that can be done. And so a lot of times the seed is not sown. Why? Because of the wayside. That wayside, those fowls are on the wayside. Now where's the wayside at? It's the roadside. It's right there on the side of the road. And guess what? There's always a trap on the side of the road. Why? The Bible says we need to be on the straight way. We need to be on the way that's straight. Why? You go on the side of the road, there's all kind of trash. You'll get your tire flat getting on the side of the road. I've done that before. Friend, you got to be careful of that roadside. Listen to this verse right here. Proverbs 1:40, verse 5 says, the proud have hid a snare for me and cords. Watch this. They have spread a net by the wayside. Let me tell you something. I think that's so interesting. Y'all get home and y'all run a concordance on the net on your in your Bible. And you know what? It reminds me a lot of the internet. I wonder how many people have been led astray by that old internet on the wayside. And I wonder how many people have they'll spend hours and hours and hours on the internet. And guess what? When they could be spending those same hours in God's Word, and guess what? Those files have ended up getting that person so interested in the internet that they don't even read God's Word anymore. And they spend so much time with that junk that guess what? The Word just does no good. I wonder how many people have been caught up in the net. I wonder how many people are going to go to hell because instead of reading God's Word, they were reading the internet, and they were caught up in a net, so to speak, and guess what? That net trapped them. And friend, there's a whole lot of people that's involved in that stuff. There's people that look on things on that internet the mind ought not even come close to, but guess what? That the wayside here is there. Those fowls will get you so interested in anything but God's Word. And you see, that's what's going on today. People are so interested in the things of the wayside, so the devil uses those things. And friend, you'll find out today that so many people are not interested in the Word of God. Why? Because of gossip, and because the fowls use that thing and the fowls use that internet as a trap. And that's just two little things that we'll go into. That's the devil using that. Guess what else they have to fight against? A hindrance in receiving the seed. Back to Matthew 13. You'll notice not only the devil is going to hinder you, but your flesh will hinder you. Your flesh will hinder you big time. Friend, the Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 20, some of that seed is sown on stony places. The verse 20 says this, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word in Anon. I know somebody's going, what is Anon? That's just a combination of and on. That just means at once. At once. And on. It's like saying right on, you know, right then. So and on, he receiveth that word. He receives it with joy. And so there he is. He's stoned on a stony place. But guess what? The Bible says right there, he don't have any root. Verse 21, yet he hath not root in himself. Well, y'all say, what is the root? Revelation 22:16 says that Jesus Christ is the root in the offspring of David. Guess what? That person is not saved at all, but they hear that word and they receive it with joy. They say, man, I like that word. That is so neat that that's in the Word of God. I really like that. And they start getting interested. But guess what happened? It's sown there, but it endureth for a while. It endureth for just a little while. But then tribulation and persecution come. They say, that's all I needed is that. I don't want to be part of that. If people's going to make fun of you, I don't want to be a part of that. People's going to be your enemy. I don't want to be a part of that. You think about Herod over there in Mark chapter number 6. You can check it in verse 20. The Bible said he received that word gladly. When John the Baptist preached to him, he liked that preaching. He said, I can see John the Baptist going. I bet he was a stomper. I bet John the Baptist come through stomping, spitting, carrying on. I bet he was just preaching a sermon. And man, old Herod said, man, I like that preaching right there. And guess what happened? Herodias, that old pervert, her daughter starts dancing before Herod, and Herod likes it so much, he said, anything you want up to half of the kingdom, I'll give it to you. And guess what that old wicked thing said? She said, I want John the Baptist's head. And he gave it to her. Why pressure? He feared man more than he feared God. You know what you can find out a lot about people? You find out two things about people and learn a whole lot about them. If I had 5 minutes to find out about somebody, you know two things I'd ask them? What do you fear and what do you love? You find out them two things right there, and that I answer most of the other questions, friend. He feared man more than he feared God, and he was not loyal or anything else. He liked John the Baptist, had his head cut off. You know, that's a lot of people today. A lot of people will like preaching. They like kind of going to church, but then it interferes with the reputation, or it interferes with what's going on so much, and they say, well, I kind of like it, but I don't think that's for me. Well, guess what happens, friend? It's sown on a stony place. They get a head knowledge, and they don't have a root. They don't have a heart knowledge. Now, I've heard a lot of people say that some of these old preachers, they say a lot of people are going to miss hell or miss heaven by 18 inches. From the head to the heart, about 18 inches right here. They got it right here. They don't got it right here. There's a lot of people, man, are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a lot of people who got a lot of head knowledge, but they don't got it right here, friend. You got to have it right here in your heart. Jesus Christ comes to live on the inside of you, friend. And I believe that once you trust Jesus Christ, He does come to live on the inside of you. And the thing is, they don't have that root. Now, there's a lot of people nowadays that know the facts. Judas knew the facts, but it didn't change him a bit. He was just as wicked on the inside, but he had the outside cleaned up. You think about Judas, man, don't you know he's a pretty good fellow as far as outside, but man, he was a devil. The Bible says the devils, over in the book of James, believe and tremble. Well, the devil's got the facts. They believe that Jesus Christ is real. They believe that the Bible is real. They believe the Word of God works, but guess what? It don't do them a bit of good. A lot of people are like that. A lot of people believe in Jesus Christ. They believe even Jesus saves, but you know what? They don't apply it and they're not saved. It's that seed sown on stony ground. You wonder why so many people just don't care? They're stony ground hearers. They don't want to have anything to do with anything that's going to hurt their reputation, they think. So they think they got a reputation, but friend, I'm telling you, it's better for us to become fools that we might become wise, according to the Bible. So you got there, and the fowls work. How do they work? And how does the devil work and the flesh work? Through offenses. The Bible says at the bottom of verse 21, it says, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Somebody said, what by and by mean? That means we sing that song, we'll understand it better, by and by. That means in the future. So in the future, he's offended. What happens is, they get that word and persecution starts coming in and they get offended. Somebody makes them mad and guess what happens? They get out of there. I wonder how many people will go to hell because they've been offended. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Hey, I guarantee you this, those of you that's growing in the Lord, you're reading your Bible and you're praying, you know what you'll find out? That it does no good to get offended anyway. Why? You're going to have to get over it anyhow. What good does it do to get offended very long? That's like sometimes during the week, some things will make you mad, and I get to thinking, why am I even mad anyway? It's not going to do no good. I'm going to have to be the one that suffers from getting mad. I may as well get back glad here in just a minute. Why? Because I'm going to have to get glad sometime if I'm going to do any good. But some people don't think like that. They get offended, and what happens as soon as they get offended? I'm just out of here. Hey, man. He's saying, don't be like that. Don't get offended so easy. And what happens is, Jesus, his own hearers, got offended. You look over in this same chapter, in verse 57, you'll read in verse 54, they couldn't believe the wisdom and the mighty works Jesus was doing and the wisdom that he had. But guess what verse 57 says? And they were offended in him. Isn't that amazing? A lot of people got offended with Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this, if they got offended with Jesus Christ, they're going to get offended with you. Friends, there's going to be a lot of people who don't like you. It ain't that they don't like you. They don't like the Jesus on the inside of you. There's going to be people who just don't like you. Why? They don't like the stand that you have. They don't like where you stand in the Lord. They don't like that you have standards. And they don't like the fact that you don't engage in the same conversations that they do. And you don't want to watch the same things that they want to watch. And you don't want to go the same places they want to go. And guess what happens? They get offended and they don't want to be around it. Why? Because if you really want to know the truth, their conscience is convicting them. And friend, it convicts them, friend, and they don't want to be around it. Jesus Christ was living a righteous, holy, clean life, and they didn't like him. Why? Because he made them look bad. You know what happens? A lot of times, you get close to Jesus Christ, and you know what happens? Your life close to Jesus Christ starts showing people that, how it is to be a Christian. And friend, a lot of even Christians get offended with you. Friends, you gotta realize that most of this world is in a backslidden state anyway. Even the Christian, a lot of times you gotta backslide to be in fellowship. And I mean that. I'm telling you, a lot of times nowadays, people, all they want is just enough to get there. Friends, we don't want just enough. I want the whole thing, friend. I don't want just a piece. I want the whole thing, all I can get. And friend, that's how we ought to be. Why? Because Jesus is worthy. He gave you everything. Look what all he gave us. Don't get offended. So you got the devil, he'll hinder you. You got the flesh, he'll hinder you. Guess what else? You got the world to hinder you. You see over here in verse 22, it said, he also that received seed among the thorns. There's the one among the thorns in the world. It talks about how the world there and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. Friend, you've got the thorns and the devil uses thorns. I'm telling you right now, this is a true saying. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Do you know if the devil can't have your soul, he wants to have all your time. If he can't get your time, he wants your hands. If he can't get your hands, he wants your feet. If he can't get your feet, he wants something, anything he can get to get a foothold in your life. So guess what? If the devil can't keep you from getting the root, that's Jesus Christ, he'll try to keep you from bearing fruit. Christian, let me tell you something. When you're saved, not only do you have to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil, but there's something against you, and it's constantly working against you to keep you from bearing fruit. And friend, you can't bear fruit outside the Holy Spirit. You can't do anything but yield to the Holy Spirit to bear the true fruit of God. And those are listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. There are 9 fruits there. And friend, this world system, if nothing else, is trying to get you so busy, you don't have time to serve God. I can't tell you how many people I've asked to come to church nowadays since I've been here. And you know what the common excuse is? I'm too busy to come to church. Let me tell you something. I mean this when I tell you this. What if God puts you in a hospital and allows you to get to a hospital there? You won't be so busy then. You won't be so busy when bad things get to happening, friend. And I thank the Lord sometimes that He loves us enough to put us in a hospital to get us to realize that our time needs to be devoted to God. Because, friend, you know what the sad thing is? The sad thing is that we're going to get on the other side and wish we did more. We're going to get on the other side and wish that we had poured more of our resources and more of the things God has given us into God's things and not our own things, because it's God's thing that's going to last all the way to the end, friend. You got to realize that this world system is run by the devil. It's run by the devil. And so what do? I give y'all this verse all the time. We're supposed to use this world, but don't abuse this world. It's not wrong. It's nothing wrong with having things, but guess what? If you get to where those things pull you from God, that's when you're in trouble, friend. And that's the system that the devil tries to do. Why? To keep you from bearing fruit. He don't want you to be fruitful. There's very few people who can be fruitful whenever they got a whole lot going on. Why? Time allocation. People don't know how to manage their time. They don't know how to manage the time that God has given them. And friend, they become unfruitful. So guess what? Those thorns are listed there, right there in the verse. He tells you that you get your care wrong, and then the deceitfulness comes in, and then the word gets choked, and then after that gets choked, you become unfruitful. So guess what? Our job is to try to let God let that seed be sown on a good ground. So what do? Just think about out there in the world. What do you do in the world? In the world, if you're going to plant a seed, guess what you do? You get on your tractor, you get your garden hoe out, or you get your tiller out, and you plow up that ground, don't you? You plow that ground up. Sometimes that ground is hard. So you know what you have to do? Sometimes you have to take the water hose out if it hadn't been raining, and you got to spray that water, that ground down and get it moist. That way you can plow it up. You know what the Bible tells you? The Bible tells you to plow up, break up your fallow ground. The Bible says, sow in tears so you can reap in joy. You know, a lot of times we need to get ourselves to where we can actually get down and get sorry for sin. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. This world, it needs people who care. There are people out there who are really hurting, who are going through things. And you know what? This world needs our prayers. Don't you know that we need to be praying for people and we need to be asking God to help people out? I thank the Lord that there are those of y'all that I can call on to pray in a time of need. Why? We need prayer and other people need prayer. But this world has got us so busy that we don't even have time to pray anymore. Why? The seed is being choked out. Why? So the devil don't want you becoming fruitful. He don't want you to be fruitful. So what do? That seed sown on good ground. In verse number 23, the first thing you'll notice is he that heareth the word. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, one of the best things you can do, and I mean this, I'm not just saying this because I'm preaching this morning. One of the best things you can do is get yourself under Bible preaching. Get yourself under preaching of God's Word. Why? Because God's Word's like a hammer, and whenever your heart is hard, that Word of God hits that. I've showed y'all that time and time again because that's what it does. It'll hit that heart. Man, another thing will come in, and man, something will offend you. It's good to be offended every now and then. Man, something will come in, and your heart don't agree with that, and it's like that Word hits that heart. And man, that heart kind of,
And man, that word comes in again. It'll hit your heart again. And guess what? That heart begins to become soft. And you know what? Whenever that heart becomes soft, then God is able to mold a little bit and help that heart. But until that heart becomes soft, God cannot help a hard heart. You think about Pharaoh over there in the book of Exodus. You know what's wrong with Pharaoh? He had a hard heart. And friend, God couldn't help him. He went down in the sea. I'm going to tell you something about Pharaoh now. I like to think if I went down there on my horse and I saw water up on this side and water up on that side, I would know something was different. I would know something was going on. But that hard-hearted rascal rode right down in there to his death. And you know, a lot of people are like Pharaoh. A lot of people harden their heart, and they harden their heart so much, and before long, they're going straight into sudden death, and they're going to drown because of all the things around them. Why? They've hardened their heart and they won't listen to God anymore. And not only that, they won't listen to those that try to help them. They won't listen to those that's got good advice. They won't listen to those that love them and trying to tell them, I'm trying to keep you from going into the water. And guess what? They won't listen, and oftentimes they plunge to their own destruction just like hard-hearted Pharaoh. And another thing too, the good ground hearer, the Bible said he understandeth. Now, one of my favorite verses, and I believe everybody in here ought to mark it in your Bible. Job 28:28 says, the fear of the Lord, that is knowledge. So that's the beginning of knowledge. But guess what else? It goes on to say that he that departeth from evil, to depart from evil is understanding. So you don't have any understanding until, number one, you have the knowledge of God. But then you don't have any understanding until you begin to depart from evil, because the Word shows you what evil is, and you begin to see how dangerous evil is, and you begin to depart from it. And the more you depart from those things that are evil, the Bible says, abstain from every appearance of evil. What happens? You begin to see the world as it really is. Do you know that as you get closer to God, it's just like He pulls the veil back on this world, and you're able to see how wicked this world is. And you know what it does? You begin to get a new respect for God, and you begin to realize you need to listen to Him like never before. Why? Because you know you can't make it without Him. You know you can't make a good decision without Him. You know you can't do anything successful without Him. And then once you begin to walk beside Him, you realize that, man, He's been holding you up the whole time anyway. And man, isn't it a blessing to be able to see that God Almighty loves you enough to, even whenever you didn't know anything, I thank God He was merciful to me, and He still is. And friend, He holds you up when nobody else would. Why? And He gives you that knowledge to see what happens whenever you don't yield to Him. But guess what? He wants you to be fruitful. And what happens? You start yielding to God, and He makes you fruitful. This is the last verse I'll show you. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 14. Titus chapter 3, verse number 14 says this. And this is the thing that we're to do. Why? Because as a Christian, if you're saved here this morning, God wants you to bear fruit. He wants to see you get blessed, and He wants to see you have treasures and riches on the other side. How are you going to do that? Well, you're going to want to ask God, say, Lord, whatever I'm wrong in and wherever I'm wrong, come to this book with respect and say, Lord, I'm here. You show me where I'm wrong at. You show me what I need to know out of Your Word, and give me the right paths, and He'll do it. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally. And you know what it says right here in Titus 3:14? And let ours also learn. You got to learn it. It don't all come to you one day. He says, learn to maintain good works. Why? For salvation? No. He says, for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. You know what He's saying? He's saying, you receive that seed on good ground, and you let that seed grow up in you, and then you learn, and you learn more about God. And what happens is, He teaches you how to become fruitful in your walk. And then, guess what? Then that seed is sown on a good ground, and it's able to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. You know, the greatest seed is the Word of God. The Bible says the seed's the Word of God, but it says receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. Not only that, the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. The Bible says there is a corruptible seed, but He said there's an incorruptible seed, and the Bible says it liveth and abideth forever. So you know what? that Word of God will continually work in you and work in you and work in you from now on. Why? He wants you to be fruitful. So today, let's be fruitful Christians and pray that God will sow the seed as we go through His Word together on good ground. That way we can become fruitful together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father,